From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 66 and verse 20. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer. In looking back on the character of our prayers, if we do it honestly, we shall be filled with wonder that God has ever answered them. There may be some who think their prayers worthy of acceptance, as the Pharisee did, but the true Christian, in a more enlightened retrospect, weeps over his prayers. And if he could retrace his steps, he would desire to pray more earnestly. Remember, Christian, how cold thy prayers have been. When in thy closet thou shouldst have wrestled as Jacob did, but instead thy petitions have been faint and few, far removed from that humble, believing, persevering faith, which cries, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Yet, wonderful to say, God has heard these cold prayers of thine, and not only heard, but answered them. Reflect also how unfrequent have been thy prayers, unless thou hast been in trouble, and then thou hast gone often to the mercy seat. But when deliverance has come, where has been thy constant supplication? Yet, notwithstanding thou hast ceased to pray as once thou didst, God has not ceased to bless. When thou hast neglected the mercy seat, God has not deserted it, but the bright light of the Shekinah has always been visible between the wings of the cherubim. Oh, it is marvelous that the Lord should regard those intermittent spasms of importunity which come and go with our necessities. What a God is He thus to hear the prayers of those who come to Him when they have pressing wants, but neglect Him when they have received a mercy, who approach Him when they are forced to come, but who almost forget to address Him when mercies are plentiful and sorrows are few. Let His gracious kindness in hearing such prayers touch our hearts, so that we may henceforth be found praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
Speak, heal the broken, help the
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns will continue a message called God's Sovereign Purpose. His text is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, where the Apostle Paul sets forth the five pillars of Christian knowledge. These are God's eternal election, His loving predestination of a people to be conformed to Christ, His effectual calling of those people, His justification of them through the atoning work of Christ, and their ultimate glorification. Here is the foundation of the Christian's peace and assurance. Last time, Dr. Cairns explained what the Bible means by God's eternal election. Today, he deals with predestination, a subject which often arouses much unnecessary controversy. Simply put, it is God's determination that His people be conformed to the likeness of Christ. Now, to continue this message, God's sovereign purpose. Here is Dr. Cairns.
Some of the choicest instruments of God in the history of the church have been people whom He has allowed to be weakened in body. You ever read the list of the sufferings, for example, of a John Calvin? There are some snide historians who like to talk about Calvin. At times he could be acerbic in his manner of speech. He could be sharp in rebuke. I wonder what they would have been. When I read the list of the physical ailments, the intense agonies of body that that dear man suffered every day of his life, and at the same time, by laborious correspondence, was carrying on a correspondence with the churches of Europe, writing by hand to people all over Europe, carrying the work of God, the care of all the churches on one pair of frail human shoulders in a body that was going down toward the grave, being sucked down every day by suffering I could not begin to imagine. And then on top of that, the suffering, children dying at childbirth, then a wife dying. Some of God's people are called to go through a very dark period of suffering. What God is doing, I have found in so many of those cases, God is taking a vessel and He's sanctifying that vessel. And through the deep suffering, He is showing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our good is to be conformed to the image of His Son. We have bought in too easily to the so-called American dream that our good is to be able to buy what we want, when we want it, even if we don't need it. Our good is to be able to do what we want, whenever we want, go wherever we want. This is that's what I want, I want, I want. That's supposed to be our good. You raise your children that way, you'll raise a bunch of spoiled brats. And God's not in the business of raising spoiled brats. God's in the business of conforming us to the image of His Son. That's our destiny. But I want you to see this. This is not just a hope. This is a destiny that's fixed. And the beauty of it is this, that it's all for the glory of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. When Jesus Christ came into the world, it was for the purpose of bringing many sons to glory. The Lord Jesus came into the world specifically on the mission of bringing an innumerable company out of every tribe and tongue and kindred and nation unto glory. God's eternal purpose was to ensure a multitude of sons who are taken out of the pit of sin and wickedness and darkness and conforming them to Christ, bring them to glory forever. With Christ forever standing at their head and throughout all eternity, all the praise that rises to the glory of the Redeemer. Oh, what glorious praise is brought to Christ. Why? See Him? You see her? Children of Adam, black, dark, wicked sinners. But look at them now. Sanctified perfectly forever. In body and in soul, with spirits made perfect, sinless as the creation of an angel, with bodies conformed and made like unto His glorious body, Christ standing at the head of such a people, He has all the glory, as the hymn says, the Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's Lamb. I want to tell you this. Anytime you talk of predestination, never forget God predestined His people to be conformed to the image of Christ. I get so sick of the egghead, the talking head, philosophic, speculative theologians, so-called, who want to sit around and they want to talk a load of philosophical gobbledygook about predestination. And forget predestination has likeness to Christ as its great aim and its great design. I can think of in my lifetime people I knew who could talk to you all day about predestination, and they were as filthy and wicked and immoral and godless as the day was long. What a blasphemy. What a total blasphemy. God loved us to fix our destiny, to be conformed to the image of His own dear Son. Now, of course, if He fixed that destiny by divine decree, then there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Then, yes, all things are working together for our good. Even the things that are uncomfortable, even the things that hurt the body, even the things that perplex the mind, even the things that we wonder, why is this happening? How can this be happening? Behind it all is a benevolent purpose that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. And whom He did predestinate, them He also called. This is called effectual calling. This is more than an invitation or a general call. It is a particular call that is specifically and only directed to those whom God foreknew and whom God predestinated. It is therefore an effectual call. It is sovereign. It is powerful. Think of this. He called us out of death. I always like to think of that picture of Jesus in John's Gospel, chapter 11. You remember He stood at the grave of Lazarus? And He said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, I want you to get the force of that. You know, we read the Bible. We say we believe it all. I'm not for one moment doubting that we believe it all. But we sort of banish it from the realm of reality. This is a real world situation. I have stood at what is taken to be the grave of Lazarus. If it's not it, it would be one exactly like it. When you look down into that cavern, you just imagine somebody coming and the body's been stinking there for 4 days. And He stands there and He addresses that dead body. And then He commands that dead body to come out of the grave. Now, not only is the body dead, but it's bound from head to toe, bandaged like a mummy. And He says, Lazarus, come forth. If you want to see just how absolutely otherworldly, how absolutely sovereign and amazing that is, you go out to Woodlawn there and you stand at the grave that's been filled in and you say, come forth. But do it when there's nobody around. See, we're dealing here with an absolute miracle. Because Lazarus did come forth. But he didn't walk out of that grave. He couldn't. He was bandaged. How do I know? Because Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I remember when I was in Switzerland, I was asked to go to place that the musical mission team goes to, and I think they'll probably be going this time as well, they go to every trip, to Ebnat Kappel, beautiful place in the Alps, and it's run by a lovely Christian man. I was the first Calvinist ever to preach in that place. He was a stated Arminian. I got there because a Swiss medical doctor picked up from Ralph Bauman, had picked up some of my tapes and had listened to more of my sermons, I think, than I had, and I preached them. God turned his life around a saved man, but God blessed him, and he became a great supporter of this ministry. He was burdened to have me go over there and preach, and so he introduced me to his friend. And away I went to preach. It was in Zurich. It was Sabbath afternoon. And I well remember I couldn't sleep the night before. I was awake the whole night, which is not good preparation to be preaching, especially when you're going to be going through an interpreter. The interpreter was Ralph Baumann, and many of you will remember him. And Ralph said to me, I would like you to write out your sermons. You'll know how I love to do that, and read them. He says, I'd like you to write out your sermons because your sentence construction is much more complicated than most people who come here. So I want you to, help me here. So I did that. I preached at other places. And he said, look, I'd love you to preach. That's the message they need to hear. Of course, he had the script in front of him, so he had already done it once. It was going to be easier. He said, that's the message they would really need to hear down in Zurich. But as I lay awake all that night, I realized that wasn't the message. John chapter 3 was the message. And I'm not going down the alliterated outline that actually alliterated just as well in German as it did in English. Shows you how much German I knew. That was news to me. But I said to Ralph, Ralph, I'm not preaching that. I'm going to preach something I've no notes for. I've just been thinking about this all night as I lay in bed. And this is what God has led in my heart. Well, if ever you saw a preacher laying eggs, he was about to lay eggs. We got there. There was a good sense of the Lord's presence. And at one part of that sermon, talking about life, I said something that I've said here many a time. And our brother Steiner, the Arminian, listening to Cairns, the Calvinist. We should have been, of course, by everybody's reckoning. We should have been enemies right off. We should have been at each other's throats. We weren't. We hit it off. We were friends from the word go. I loved to see the grace of God in the man's life and ministry. And he responded to mine. But that day, I remember saying to the brethren, the people assembled there, come to John 11. Now here's the question. Did Lazarus live because he obeyed the call of Christ? Or did Lazarus obey the call of Christ because in calling him, Christ gave him life? They'd never thought of it before. And I remember afterwards, Brother Peter coming through the interpreter. He could speak no English and I could speak no German. You wonder if I can speak English, but I certainly spoke no German. And through the interpreter he said, will you say that again? Will you go over that again? And this was not to find fault or argue or have a theological discussion. This was just to let this sink in and ponder this. It's a great question. This is effectual calling. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. There was a time in your life and mine, if you're a Christian, when lying dead as a corpse in the grave of your sin and your depravity, you were there and you could do nothing about it. And Jesus came and he stood over you as he stood at the grave of Lazarus and he called you by your name and he said, come forth. Now, did you come forth? Yes, you did. Otherwise, you wouldn't be saved. You obeyed the call of the gospel and you obeyed it from the heart. But here's the question, the real question. Did you obtain life because you obeyed the call, or did you obey the call because, as in the case of Lazarus, when he called you, he gave you life? The Bible gives you the answer to that question, you know. Doesn't leave it to speculation. In Ezekiel 16, you have the picture of the sovereign God finding us like an aborted babe lying in its own blood. And the sovereign Christ comes and he says, live. Live. That's the answer. That is God's effectual call.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.